I apologize for that delay, but Baruch Hashem, I finally was able to get a new computer. I want to thank all of you that graciously donated towards the new computer. We're on it now. I hope it's better. I hope it's clear. It definitely will be more useful to get away from the noise in the background and to be able to produce more shiurim. So I want to thank everyone for that. Again, I got a little delayed with being sick and everything. But thank you so much. We are hopefully getting... it's funny because I hope to be getting off of Zoom as soon as we can. I'm hoping as soon as I can get the vaccine, we'll get that vaccine and we'll be able to be back in person. But until we get to that point, we'll be on Zoom. So I hope that we could make it as clear and quiet in the background and clear on the screen, and perhaps sound and video is better. I don't know. You'll let me know. And hopefully we'll be able to continue growing in this venue. Thank you.
Rabbi,
yes,
Rabbi,
Michael.
Hold up, because there's three people still trying to get on.
Okay, so we'll wait.
I'm sorry to do this.
No problem.
It's part of my job. You know, I get paid extra.
I asked you how you're feeling.
That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Anyway, somebody's not on mute here.
I'm trying to mute all. I don't know why it's not giving me the option.
Okay, so everyone, please mute yourselves. We're waiting for Stewie and Jay to get on.
Okay.
They're trying to get on. They can't. Hold on.
So, Rabbi, do you have an appointment for...
No, I have to wait until 3 months from when I got sick. Because I have all the antibodies from being sick, I can't get the vaccine until I... they say between 2 and 3 months. So I'm scheduling. Hopefully, it won't be hard to get it once I'm ready. I'm hoping after Shavuos to then go and just get it so we can move on. Rabbi Dr. Glad does not value the antibodies as much as he does the vaccine. So until I get the vaccine, I won't be able to come back in person. So we're here, but I definitely have antibodies. But we got to go for the full vaccine till I can come back. So I'm just waiting for 2-3 months to pass so I can come get it so we can be back in person, Mr. Shem. Okay.
Rabbi, we're actually losing people, so you might as well start.
I don't want to speak a lot about the parsha. I just do want to mention that I heard a beautiful Dvar Torah, and I urge you all to listen as well from Rabbi Moshe Walter. He's a Rav in Silver Spring. Michael, you want to say the shit today, Michael? If you will listen online, there's a beautiful shiur from Rabbi Moshe Walter. He's a Rav from Silver Springs. He's a big Talmid Chacham. He's also, I consider him a good friend of mine. He's a wonderful fellow. So he makes a very interesting observation in this week's parasha. Again, I'm not going to give his holistic term. I'm just going to be myself, my point that I made, at least in my shul on Shabbos, about, you know, Parashas Mitzrayim is really the coming out of the tzaras. It's being part of society. It's coming out of quarantine. It's coming out of the lockdown mode that we've all been living with for so long. And we still are living with it. You know, Haraya, we're still on Zoom. We're not yet fully back where we want to be and where we need to be. But I just want to be mice of one part. He doesn't say that this is my own chiddush. If you look in the Pasuk says that one of the things the Mitzrayim has to bring is he brings Eitz Eretz, which is cedar wood, Ushni Toilas. And Rashi says, why is he bringing this Shni Toilas? This hyssop something. So Rashi says because it's all, these are very low things. And he's supposed to remind himself that he's supposed to be a shval ruach. He's supposed to be low and humble and not about gaiva. Why? Because gaiva made him into a tzaras. So the Achrayim all ask an interesting kasha. We're holding now the person already, he already cured from his leprosy. His tzaras is gone off his body. So asks the Mefarshim, so if his leprosy already got better, so then why does he need to remind himself to be humble? He obviously humbled himself already because the leprosy ran away. So I thought the answer is pasha, that very often when you're in a difficult situation and you see the punishment in front of you, so you improve. There's no question. None of us have hearts of stone that if Hashem is throwing down on us makos and punishments, that we're going to just, you know, ignore him. But what happens after it gets better? After you start to heal. And now life is better. Life is greener. Life is more positive. You very quickly fall back into the original behavior that got you into this point. So the Torah is reminding the Mitzrayim, yes, you're feeling better, and yes, your tzaras has improved, and yes, everything looks good, but don't fall back to your old behavior. Very often in life, when things start to turn for the better, we right away resort back to our old behavior, because that's tendencies as humans. We go back to what we're used to. And therefore, the Torah is reminding us, I think it's very relevant here also. You know, as we start to get back to having in-person things, and we start getting back to shul, and we start making simchas again, let's not forget so quickly what we were like and what perhaps caused us to be where we are. Let's make sure that when we re-enter into society, we don't just re-enter as we were last time. I, as I like to say, we have to re-enter better. We have to be better than we were last time, stronger and more serious about our devotion to Torah, to learning, to a Kedusha's basic nessus. I think all that is just an important message as we start to get ready, and many of us are already there, to bring ourselves back into society, to come out of the quarantine that we've been living with for some time. Okay, today's learning, as well as David, who am I forgetting? Okay, Rabbi, if you remember last time we learned, we were discussing a Gemara over here, where the Gemara has a discussion of what constitutes being able to get knas. Which type of girls have knas? So we learned in our Mishnah that almost every girl gets knas, even though it's a girl you're not allowed to marry. Because as we mentioned in the past, one of the things that the Torah says you have to do when you're ma'anis a girl is you have to marry her. V'loy si'elish, you have a positive commandment to marry her. On top of the fact that you have to make a payment. So the Gemara, the Mishnah that we have in the beginning of the third parak, get a whole list of women that you're not allowed to marry. You're not allowed to marry your sister. You're not allowed to marry your wife's sister. And if you're ma'anis any of all those women, you have to still pay the knas. So the Gemara said, because we have a special drush, we have a special ribuy, that even though you can't marry them, you still have to pay them knas. But the Gemara told us, number one, but ulafuki mehatana detanya. But these next tanoim disagree with our Mishnah. Who are these tanoim? Detanya, veloisi elish, it says in the pasuk he's supposed to marry her. So Shimon HaTimani, we spoke about him last week. Shimon HaTimani yoimer isha sheyesh bahavai. The only woman that you pay knas to is a woman that you could have kedushin to. Havai means kedushin. Not only do you have to be able to make kedushin to her, you have to be able to stay married to her, which means there can't be a fundamental issue in the relationship that stops you from staying married. Sometimes you can get married, but you can't stay married. According to Shimon ben Asi, you have to be able to stay married. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference between being able to get married and be able to stay married? The nafkamina would be a mamzeres or a nesina, which we spoke out last week is really a case of chayvei lavin. So, Lamanda Omer Yesh Bahavai, if you hold it, it's dependent upon getting married, Ha Nami Yesh Bahavaya. Those people are only Chavi Lav, and you're able to have Kedushin to. But, Lamanda Omer Ruy Lekaima, but if you hold, you have to be able to stay married to them, Ha Ena Ruy Lekaima. You can't stay married to Chavi Lav. So, the Gemara thought that Nafkamina between these two Tanoim would be a case where you have a Chavi Lav. So, let's say, for example, a Mamzer. So, a person wants to marry a Mamzer, so the Kedushin goes through, it's valid. But the Torah is not going to allow you to stay married to a mamzer, so you'd have to get divorced. So that would be a nafkamina, because according to Reb Shimon HaTimani, as long as you're able to make the marriage, so then she gets a knas. According to Reb Shimon Menasi, it's not enough to get married, you have to be able to stay married. And since the mamzeris or any other chayvei lavin are not able to stay married, so then you would not have to pay the knas. So the Gemara has a kasha, what about according to Reb Akiva? Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that regular Chavi Lavin, there is no Tvisis Kedushin, the Kedushin does not go through. It's not valid. So according to him, so might be nice. And now what's the difference between those two Tanoim? So the Gemara answers, it could be Nayu Almona L'Koyin Gadol. The difference will be a case of Almona L'Koyin Gadol, or for that matter, a Grusha to a Koyin Hedjit. Why? So the Gemara says like this, Kreb Simoy. According to Reb Simoy, Titania, Reb Simoy said, Min hakol osa Reb Akiva mamzer. Reb Akiva made everyone into a mamzer. Meaning, every illicit relationship that the Kedushin is not chal, where the Kedushin is not chal, the Vlad was a mamzer. Chos, the one exception was Almona l'Koyin Gadol. For some reason, when an Almona marries a Koyin Gadol, even though it's obviously an Isser, it's a Lav, but the baby's not a mamzer. How do you know? Shari Amr Torah, because it says in the Torah, lo yikach v'lo yichal, it says, don't take Almona and do not profane her. Chalulin hu asa vein asa mamzerin. The Gemara is a special drasha, which maybe we'll talk more about Blineda next week, that you don't create a mamzeris from Almona to Kohen Gadol. If an Almona and a Kohen Gadol live together, that baby is not a mamzer. Even though, again, an Almona to a Kohen Gadol is a chavei lavin. And according to Bakiva, chavei lavin does not have tvisis kedushin. You can't make a marriage between these two people. But nonetheless, if the two of them unite and have a baby, that baby is not a mamzer. That's the end of the Gemara. Now, what does that have to do with our sugya? Our sugya wasn't discussing mamzeris. Our sugya was discussing who has tvisis kedushin, who doesn't have tvisis kedushin. Again, according to the first sheet in the Gemara of Shimon HaTimani, you need to be able to make kedushin to this woman. Can you make kedushin to Almona l'Koyin Gadol? No, because she's a chavei lavin, and we're going according to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says chavei lavin don't have tvisis kedushin. So why is Almona l'Koyin Gadol the exception? Oh, because the kids are not mamzerim. What does that have to do with us? Our point of discussion is not whether or not the kids are mamzerim. Our point of discussion is whether or not you can make kedushin. And according to Rabbi Akiva, anyone that's a chayvei lavin, there's no tvisis kedushin. And since Almona l'Koyin Gadol is a chayvei lavin, so this should be another example of no tvisis kedushin. So if there's no tvisis kedushin and you're not allowed to stay married to her, why is this an afkamina between Shimon HaTimani and Shimon ben Menasya? So Pashup Shat in the Gemara, Taisa.
Is it automatic that, whether it's even a case of a lav, that that just because it's Mamzerus, does that necessarily mean each of these has Kedusha in a lav?
So let's look at that's exactly source number two. Zok Taisvis. Taisvis Bavorin's my kasha. What's my kasha? This Gemara is discussing Hilchas Mamzerus. Our sugya that we need is Hilchas Tvisas Kedushin. What are the two sugyas have to do with each other? Zok Taisvis, Mashma, Dehoba Hotalia. You see from this Gemara that those two sugyas are intertwined. The Kivan, Delay having Mamzer, Kedushin, Taifsin. Taisvis tells us a Gavaldig Yisoid that we learn from over here that how does it work? Is that if you want to know if there is Tvisas Kedushin between two people, the way to know is what the offshoot will be. If the baby will be a kosher baby, so then it's a raya that these two people are allowed to get married, or they can get married. But if the baby produces a mamzer, that's a dead giveaway, says Taisvis, that these two people do not have tvisa kedushin between the two of them. Therefore, says Taisvis, now the Gemara is beautiful. So from the fact that the Gemara has a drasha, that the children are not mamzerim, so once we know the children are not mamzerim, we can then go back up and plug in, the melo, there must be tvisa kedushin. Even though this is a chavi lavin, and if Akiva holds chavi lavin doesn't have tvisa kedushin, you'll have to throw up your hands and say this is an exception. But again, you don't see directly from the psukim anything about marriage. You see from the psukim about mamzerus, and from mamzerus it leads us back up to tvisas kedushin. That's the way Tosfos understands the Gemara, which is a gavaldik yisoid. It comes out that if you want to know what is the status of someone's marriage, so you don't look necessarily at the marriage; you look at the future generation. If the Torah says if these two people get together and have a baby, the baby is a kosher, so that means the Torah is saying that these two people could get married. But if the Torah says these two people have a baby, that baby is a mamzer. That's a raya that the Torah doesn't want these two people to get married. So we mentioned last week.
Then Rabbi Kiva, the way Rabbi Kiva phrases it is not correct. It shouldn't be Ein Kedushin Tosin B'Chayiv Yelavin. It should be Ein Kedushin Tosin B'Mamzerus.
No. Again, the Yisurim are Chayiv Yelavin. They are awesome because of Chayiv Yelavin. Now the question is every Chayiv Yelavin going to produce a Mamzerus? That's the question. Meaning it's still Chayiv Yelavin. That's the category that we're talking about. The category is still called Chayiv Yelavin.
That's not the main thing. Kuntur Rabbi Kiva, it's whether they produce a mamzer or not.
Okay, so this really leads us mamish into what I wanted just to talk about. Now, we mentioned this last week, that there's a hakir from Rabbi Chonan. We're going to go out and say over a lot of Rabbi Chonan today, just no particular reason. But Rabbi Chonan has a gevaldika hakir we mentioned last week. Rabbi Chonan has the following hakir. Rabbi Chonan wanted to know, when we say that mamzeris is connected to Itvis's Kedushin, when we say that if a baby is a mamzer, it's a raya that there's no kedushin. So Rabbi Chonan wanted to know, is this a simin or is this a siba? Meaning, is the same reason why the baby is a mamzer, is that why there's no tvisas kedushin? Does that mean they're connected? Meaning, why did the Torah make this baby a mamzer? That's because it came from an illicit relationship. And because it's an illicit relationship, that's why these two people are not allowed to get married. That's one way of looking at it. Or perhaps the other way of looking at it is...
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Aren't all of these prohibited marriages itemized already?
What do you mean by itemized?
In other words, you're not allowed to marry your sister. You're not allowed to marry your wife's sister.
Right, but over here, this new category that we have, this is a category called Chayvi Lavin. They're not Chayvi Krisis. Chayvi Krisis are what you're talking about. Your sister, your wife's sister. That's the most extreme case, which we'll discuss more later today, Mitzvah Shem. We're talking about the most lenient group, which is Chayvi Lavin. People that if you live with them, you only get Malkus.
But doesn't it say you get Malkus if you do that? Or is that...
No. No one's denying that when you'll actually have Bia with this woman that you just married, you're going to get smacked for it. But the question that we're debating is, did the marriage even go through? I mean, if a kohen goes over to a grusha and he gives her a ring and says, Ariyah Mekudesh Asli B'Tabazu, does that have any validity in halacha? Or that was just a big fat waste of time? What's the nafkamina? Let's say right after he gives her that ring, a nice Yisrael comes over and gives her a ring also. Who's she married to? So if you hold there's no kedushin in a chayvei lavin, so what the first guy did was absolutely useless. The kohen can't marry a divorced woman. That kedushin has no validity. So she's married now to the Yisrael. But yeah, we're not debating that they're living in sin. There's no question.
So what you're saying is that without the limud from Mamzeris, we might think that even though it's prohibited, it's still chal.
Right,
the
right.
First place.
That's right. Meaning the mamzeris is giving us an insight into their marriage. From the fact that, meaning the Torah should have made these babies mamzerim. They come from an illicit relationship. But from the fact that the Torah did not make these babies mamzerim, it's a giveaway that the relationship is not as bad as you think, and they're able to get married. Now again, they're living in sin, I'm not saying that this is a marriage endorsed by the Torah, but at least a marriage that is chal, it's valid, the kedushin takes place. But let's go to the reverse side. When the Gemara says, when the baby's a mamzer, it's a raya, there's no tvisis kedushin. So Rabbi Chanan broke it down into a chakira. He wanted to know, this was again last week's share, is the pshat that, why is it that way? Let's break it down simply. Why is it that way? Why, if the baby is a mamzer, is that a proof that the kedushin is not chal? Maybe the kedushin is chal and still the baby is a mamzer. So Rabbi Chanan wanted to say two ways. One way he was saying it is that if the baby is a mamzer, that's a raya that there's something wrong. Something is not right. Because the Torah doesn't make regular babies mamzer. If the Torah made this baby a mamzer, it means there's something wrong with the unit, with the unification of these two people. When these two people came together and produced this baby, something was wrong. So says Rabbi Chanan, that same thing that was wrong, which produced the mamzer, is the same thing that it prevents them from getting married. There's a block. That block that made this baby a mamzer is the same block that makes them that they can't get married. That's the way Rabbi Chanan presumably understood this. I mean, the same moineya, the same problem that exists, which is what produces the mamzeris, should be the same reason that produces the itvisis kedushin. Then Rabbi Chanan had another tzad. Rabbi Chanan's other tzad was, it's not about the problem between the two people, it's the mere fact. The mere fact that when two people can't get married, that equals mamzer. End of story. Not because there's something wrong between be'etzem, between the two people. But whenever there's a no marriage, that produces a mamzer. So Rabbi Chanan wanted to explain what would the nafkamina be. So he talks about a case of an eved haboal bas Yisrael. There's a sugya in Yevamis. What happens if a goy or an eved is boiled a Jewish girl? What's the status of the baby? So one side is that the baby's a mamzer. Why? Because a goy can't marry a Jewish girl. The other side in Tosfos and Yevamis is no. The baby's not a mamzer, at least not mamzer deraisa. Why? Because why is there no kedushin between a goy and this girl? It's not because there's something wrong with the girl and something wrong with the boy. It's because this guy is like a rock. He's a goy. Goyim have no shaykhis to kedushin. So the reason why there's no tvisis kedushin between this man and this woman is not because there's something fundamentally wrong with them. It's because he's so removed from the parasha of kedushin. So Rabbi Chanan wanted to say that would be the nafkamina. If it's about the fact that there's something wrong between this boy and this girl, that produces the mamzeris, you don't have that by a goy. There's nothing so fundamentally wrong between a goy and a Jewish girl. But if the point is, itvis is kedushin, so then does it matter why they're not able to get married? Is it because I can't marry a goy because there's something wrong with me, or I can't marry a goy because a goy can't marry anyone? If tvis is kedushin is the point, so then it shouldn't matter why this tvis is kedushin. Okay, I don't want to get back into that this week because we're going to get even more confused. But that was Rabbi Chanan from last week. Now, be it as it may, the facts are the facts. Yeah.
Let me ask you something very elementary. All chiyuvi krisis is automatically mamzer, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All chiyuvi,
except for Anida. Yeah, but yeah. Except for Abal Anida.
Right, okay. Chiyuvi lavim are what? Not mamzer, correct?
Chiyuvi lavim, according to Reb Simoy, are not, right?
Okay, so the fact that this Amano, the Kain Gadol, is a lav, so shouldn't that be not a reason, but that's the fact? In other words, isn't that a raya?
That what?
Because the mere fact.
A raya to what?
In other words, the whole hakira is whether it's a simen or a siba.
Right.
Right. I would say from here it's clear that it's definitely a simen. Because for raya, why is this the only lav that's a chi of karas? And yet the vlav's a mamzer. Every other time.
I lost you. What's that? Which is a lav that was that? Which is a lav that's a chi of karas? I missed you. One second. One more time.
What? No. Didn't we say a mono lekar? Amon Lekayin, right?
Amon Lekayin Gadol is a lav, right?
Right, and yet the kid's a mamzer.
Kid's not a mamzer, not a mamzer. The Gemara's drasha is the baby's a cholul, the baby's not the mamzer. The Gemara says, Chalulun hu, the last line of the Gemara, Chalulun hu asa ve'ein asa mamzer, the baby's not a mamzer. The baby is a cholul, not a mamzer. So from the fact that the baby's not a mamzer, that's a raya that the Kedushin must be chal. That was the cheshbon of the Gemara. Now, the Marsha over here has a kasha. This is where we left off last week. The Marsha had a kasha on this equation. What's the equation? That Tvisis Kedushin and Mamzeris are synonymous. Whenever there is Tvisis Kedushin, the baby's not a Mamzer. Whenever there's no Tvisis Kedushin, the baby is a Mamzer. For whatever reason. Ayin Rabbi Chanan and Kovitz are from last week's share why it is that way. But the facts are the facts. They go hand in hand. Frek the Marsha a kasha, it's not true. Frek the Marsha number 3. Tzas kasha. Why don't you ask me a kasha from Yevamah L'shuk? What's the kasha from Yivam Lashuk? What's Yivam Lashuk? Yivam Lashuk is a lady whose husband died, and she's awaiting Yibam V'chalitza from her brother, from her brother-in-law. So she's a Yivam Lashuk. Now, what would happen if a third guy comes, not the brother, a guy down the block? He comes over to this Yivam Lashuk and he gives her $10 and says, Ariyat Mukadash asleep. Is the Kedushin Chal? Says, up to Marsha. There's machloikis about this. That Amai Loi Tikshulu Mivam Lashuk Afagav Dei Mamzer Mimeno Lachachom De Pligi Ad Rav Akiva Perok Isha Rabo. The Chachomim hold there is no Mamzeris, which means if a guy goes over to this woman and he's boil her, not married, he just lives with her, and she gets pregnant and she produces a baby, that baby is not a Mamzer. Fine. But Svir Lei Dein Kedushin Tais Deba Kamei Shekas Va Tais Lekamon. Yet you can't give Kedushin to Yivam Lashuk. So Frakta Marsha, you told me in our Sugya that Tfisis Kedushin and Mamzeris go hand in hand, that when there is Tfisis Kedushin, there's no Mamzeris. And when there's no Tfisis Kedushin, there is Mamzeris. What do you do with Yivam Lashuk? Yivam Lashuk, if you give her a Shava Pruta, you cannot make Kedushin to her. But if you boil her and you produce a baby, that baby's not a Mamzer. How do those things seem to work synonymous? We learned that they go hand in hand. So how does Yivam Lashuk make any sense? That's the Kasha of the Marsha on this Sugya. So the Beis Yankiv was the Nesivis. The Nesivis wrote a sefer called Beis Yaakov, which is we've quoted it before. Maseches Gittin, we used to sing Nesivis HaMishpat, the classical Nesivis, but this was the Nesivis also. He writes, "I am Ashor Shetema Mivam Lashuk," and he writes, "Umechilas Kovoy Terosoy Nishmat Mimenu Atoysi Mivam Es Daf Memtes Mebeis." Taina the Nesivis, with respect to the Marsha, he forgot a Taisvis. It's a Mefurish Taisvis in Yivam Es Daf Memtes. Now it happens to be a very long Taisvis. That's not why the Marsha wouldn't know about it, of course, Chas V'Shalom. But I'm just telling you, if you want to look up that Taisvis, it's a very long Taisvis. It starts in Amar Aleph. It goes to Amid Beis. Gazunta Taisvis over there, Memtes Amid Beis. So Taina the Nesivis, the Taisvis in Yivam Es asks his kasha. Why? He writes over here, Taisvis Daf Memtes Amid Beis. The Ramaskal Kol Moedim Sheikshu Zeh. The Tirus and Taisvis gives an answer. What's Taisvis's answer? The Yivam Lashuk Kivan Shaymedes Lachloitz Kemal Yavam Chashiva Betvisis Kedushin. Taisvis sounds like Kein Dvarim Elu. It sounds like the point is that Yivam Lashuk is a unique case. A Yivam Lashuk ain't a chanami. If an outside man gives her money, there's no Tvisis Kedushin. But a Yivam Lashuk is still a unique situation. Why? Because she's waiting to change her status. We're just waiting for her status to change by either getting Yibam and Chalitza. If she gets Chalitza, she's a free bird. So therefore, says Taisvis and Yivam, you know why a Yivam Lashuk is like the odd man out? Because the reason why the baby's not a mamzer is because she's almost has basically one foot out the door. She's almost ready to be moteris l'chol oilam. She's just waiting for the guy to come and spit in the shoe. So therefore, Zogta Marsha, Zogta Taisvis Nivam is, it's not like the other cases. The other cases are mamish people that are of no sheiches to Kedushin. But over here, you know, if the neighbor would come and give her Kedushin a day from now, her whole status would be different. Because once she'd get that chalitza done, which we know is going to happen, we're just waiting for it to happen, then she becomes Muteres Echol Adam, and then she can marry the second guy. So Eina Chanami Ba'asher, who's Shom in the Matzav that we're in right now. She's not able to get any marriage, but since her status will shortly change and will make her completely Mutter, so we consider her now like that's why the baby's not a mamzer. That's how...
Number one, we don't know. How do we know if she's going to have you or Chalitza? And number two, you could apply that same spur in Eishes Ish. She could get divorced, and then she'll be Muteres.
No, but Aishas Ish, you need to be tulling someone else. The husband has to be willing to give her a get. Here, he has to do something.
Same thing here.
No, here he has to do something. Yeah, you're right, he doesn't have to do Yibam. He could do Yibam instead of Chalitza. But by Yibam, you still, by an Aishas Ish, you still need someone to act upon, you know, consciously. Here, something's going to change. There's no reason to assume Reuven and Leah are going to get divorced. Yeah, obviously, if you offer enough money, maybe Reuven will do it, but whatever. But there's no outside factors that are causing it. But believe me, that we'll come back to this Marsha Beis Yaakov in a few minutes. That's what the Beis Yaakov quotes to answer the Marsha's Kasha. But there might be another Mahalach to answer the Marsha's Kasha, which will take us on a little bit of a journey. But it's a journey that we've spoken many times about before, so it's kedai to see it again. How do we know in the first place that you can't marry people that are usher to you? How do you know there's no Tvisis Kedushin in Arayas? Guy goes over to his sister, goes over to his sister-in-law and says, Ariyat Mekudesh asli. How do you know that Kedushin is not Chal? So you'll tell me it can't be. Why can't it be? What's the raya that it can't, you can't make a marriage? So there's Gemara and Kedushin.
According to Rav Chana, and the fact that you have Mamzeris means there's no Tvisis
Kedushin. Okay, good. We'll come. Very good. We're going to talk about that. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. That's where I'm going with this. I'm going to try to come up with a couple pieces over here to help us answer up the Marsha's Kash. So let's see the Gemara in Kedushin of Samach Zayin. I know we've seen this Gemara before, definitely when we learn Kedushin, probably when we learn Gittin, but let's see it one more time. Zog the Gemara. Ashkechon achois isha. We know that the only place where the Torah says you can't marry someone is your achois isha, your wife's sister. Glad I saw someone speak say about it on this week's parsha. They point out that the reason why you're not allowed to marry achois isha is because it would cause so much agmas nefesh to your wife. Right? If you took your wife's sister as a wife with your wife, it would create unbelievable politics in the family. It would create a lot of sibling rivalry, which is emes chiddush that the Avos did it. It was a big chiddush that the Avos were allowed to marry achois isha, not just because of the halacha, but from the hashkafic standpoint, because you can just imagine the animosity created in the relationship between having sister rivalry, all fighting for the same husband. It doesn't do well. That's what someone takatina. That's part of the chiddush that the Torah doesn't want you doing it because it's going to create such a sibling rivalry. In any case, so the one place the Torah writes is loisikach
ish, and that's why that's the only one that's mutter after she's gone, right?
Right. That's right. That's why it's very geshmak. That's why it's mutter after she dies, because it was only us really because of that rivalry that animosity between the two sisters. But in any case, so the one place where the Torah says an iser marriage or not iser. E-tvisis kedushin, the lack of the availability to make the marriage is by achois isha. Says the pasuk loisikach, he can't make the kedushin. So the Gemara says ashkuchan achois isha. Number five, very nice. We find it by achois isha. Shara arayis minolon. How do you know by other arayis? How do you know other arayis you can't get married? The chalois is not chal. Maybe the chalois is chal, but you're living in sin every single day. Says the Gemara yalfinu ma'achois isha. We learn how to memetzinu. Ma'achois isha miuchedeshi erva. Just like achois isha is an example. It's an ervo. V'chayvin al zdoin a karis. And if you do it on purpose, you get karis. V'al shigas a chatos. If you do it accidentally, you bring a karma chatos. V'loy tavsi b'kedushin. The Torah does not allow the marriage to go through. Av kol shi erva. So too, any case of an ervo. V'chayvin al zdoin a karis. Meaning what we call chayve krisus. V'al shigas a chatos. Loy tavsi b'kedushin. So the Gemara right now thinks it's just a memetzin. I find it by A, I apply it to all the other cases as well. But the Gemara says not so fast.
The general concept of mitzvah above avera or going against the Torah doesn't apply here. Wouldn't apply here.
Again, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But the agenda over here is really to figure out: can the kedushin go through, even though the kedushin obviously is not sanctioned by Hashem? I mean, no one's going to deny that Hashem doesn't want you marrying these women. The question just is that again, it has a little bit to do with the Ovid Loi Mahani, the sugi and Tmura, that if the Torah doesn't want you doing something, so the best way to prevent you from doing it is by saying you can't do it. If the Torah would say the marriage is not valid, so that would prevent you from trying to live with this person. I'm still debating if I want to go into that sugi over here or not. I'm not sure yet. But it is an issue over here to deal with. But the Gemara, again, we'll be a little clear when we come to the Pnei Yeshua and the Avni Meluim. But the real issue of the Gemara is simple. Can the marriage be valid? Forgetting practicalities for a second. If I give a ring to an ervo, a guy gives a ring to his sister, would that make the Kedushin chal or not? Now, whether or not the Torah sanctions that, obviously the Torah does not sanction it. Well,
Rabbi, you're in the Koresh category now, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about Chayvei Krisus now. We're talking about the big league Averis. We're talking about, you know, siblings and things like that. We're not talking about, you know, a Kohen into a Grusha. We're talking about the most extreme levels of sin. You know, sister, a sister-in-law, an aunt, you know, all the biggies. And we'll see even a second, even a married woman, which makes things complicated. So let's just continue. So the Gemara says it's because of a memetzinu. Again, what's a memetzinu? A memetzinu means if the Torah says something in one place and it doesn't say anything anywhere else, I'll just compare the two and say, well, if the Torah said it over there, the Torah says it over here also. But the Gemara says not so fast. Why? Says the Gemara, Bishlama kulu asyan. You're right. I can learn out all the other arayis. I can learn out my sister and I can learn out the other ones, my aunt. But there are two arayis that I can't compare to your wife's sister. What are the two arayis? Your brother's wife and an Eishes Ish. Why? Says the Gemara, Mal Achois Isha, Shkin Ein Laheta B'Maka Mitzvah. And Achois Isha, you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister if it's a mitzvah. There's no such mitzvah to marry your wife's sister. Now, if one's wife dies, there was an accepted practice to marry the sister. That was widely done in Europe. I don't know about today, but that was a very common practice. But while the two sisters are alive, there is no mitzvah. That's why many people explain, that's why Rachel had to die on the way back to Eretz Yisrael. Because once Yaakov came into Eretz Yisrael, he started keeping all the mitzvahs. And all the mitzvahs say you can't marry two sisters. So if you can't marry two sisters, someone's got to go. So that's why Rachel died on the way back.
It can be a scenario, it would be a mitzvah, it would be in the setting of Yibam. Two brothers marry two sisters, it's possible.
Right, and there is no heter. And there's still no heter. Right, exactly. That's the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point is, right, and there's still no heter. But toima ba eishesach sheyesh lehetem b'magam mitzvah. But Frank the Gemara, the erva of an eishesach is a very unique erva. Why? My brother's wife, as long as everything is normal, she's an erva to me. But if something goes wrong and the brother dies, all of a sudden now she becomes a mitzvah to me. She becomes mutter to me. So that's not comparable to your wife's sister, who's never mutter to you in the setting of a mitzvah. That's pircha number one. What about an eishesish? Eishesish also is different. Why? Mal eishesish, mal hashken ein lahetem b'chayi oiswan. By an achosisha, my wife's sister will never be mutter to me while my wife is alive. But toimar be'eshesish yesh lahet b'chayi oisvan. But I could live with a married woman while her husband's alive. How? He gives a get. So therefore, says the Gemara, these two arayis are unique.
Yeah, but then she's no longer an eishesish
and a chanami. But
they can't coexist.
You can't coexist in eishesish, but I don't need someone to die in order for me to be mutter to her. By an eishesish, I can only be.
But divorce.
But an achos isha, I can only be mutter to my achos isha if someone dies. Right? But when it comes to an eishes ish, I don't need anyone to die. I just need someone to give a get. Which is a fancy way of saying that the erva is not as strong as the other arayas. An erva that can be broken, lifted, or removed, by definition, is not such a strong erva, like eishes ach. Eishes ach b'makom mitzvah is a raya that's not such a strong erva. Again, there's a lot to talk about over here. Maybe some of it we'll talk about in a few minutes, but there's a lot of horrors on this Gemara. I just want to get to the end of the Gemara. Zog the Gemara, Elo Omer Reb Yoino, the Eis Mer Rav Huna Ber Di Vishu, Om Akra, Kol Asha Yasmi, Kol Atoye Veis Eilu, V'Nichrsu, Hokshu Kol Arayis, Kulam Lachos Yish. Zog the Gemara, it's not a Mehmet Sinu. Because if it were to be a Mehmet Sinu, you can ask me Kashas, you can ask me Pirchas. It's a Hekesh. It's not just a Mehmet Sinu that I see by one, I apply to the other. The Torah went out of its way to compare all the Arayis to each other, and therefore, we compare Achos Isha to all the Arayis. Ma Achos Isha loitavse b'kedushin, av kol Arayis kulum loitavse b'kedushin. So let's just get clear. The maskonas ha-gemara. Why can't I give Tvisas Kedushin to any Arayis who's a chavi krisis? The answer is, not that I learn it from Achos Isha, because I wouldn't be able to learn Achos Isha from Achos Isha, but it's because of a hekesh from Achos Isha. Now, let's take a look at number six. Another shtickle Rabbi Chanan. Another very geshmaka, sink your teeth into Rabbi Chanan. Zogt Rabbi Chanan number six. This is in the beginning of Kovitz Arich, Kovitz Arich, Simen Gimel, Sivkot Gimel. V'hine zeh zman rav sheshamati mi-moiri v'rebi agoin Reb Shimon akoin shka. I mentioned last week that Rabbi Chanan was really a Talmud of Reb Shimon, not a Talmud of Reb Chaim, as people like to say. Oh, he was really be'emes a Talmud of Reb Shimon. He learned in Tells by Reb Shimon along with Ablazer Gordon. Remind me a different time we should talk about Ablazer Gordon. People don't know enough about Ablazer Gordon. But only in the making of a God will they write this. But they write about Ablazer Gordon. He was such an oyev Torah. He loved Torah. He called himself an alcoholic to Torah. They say that he used to walk through the streets and he'd hear people talking and learning. He would just join their conversation. And he would stay there for hours and hours. And he wouldn't come home because he was just so absorbed in Torah. But the controversial part is they say that in Tells, Ablazer Gordon used to talk to the Bochum and learning during Chazar Shashatz. And he used to talk to the Bochum and learning during Kriyas HaTorah, which, if you write that in the Art Scroll book, it will be banned and burned. But that's what they write in the making of a Gadol, that they needed to change things in Tells because he used to be talking and learning with the Bochum during Chazar HaShatz. Okay, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's definitely true that Blazer Gordon was an unbelievable masmid, and he loved Torah to no end, but the Rebbe Chanan didn't pick up the style of Blazer Gordon. He liked the Shimon style more in Tells. In any case, but maybe one day we'll talk more about Blazer Gordon. But so Reb Shimon has a Chakira. The same Chakira is found by Reb Chaim also, but Reb Shimon, Reb Chanan quotes it from his Rebbe Reb Shimon. What's the Chakira? It's very similar to the Chakira we mentioned earlier. What's the Chakira? Shenistapik b'hod chayvi krisis l'tavs b'kedushin. Let's go back to chayvi krisis. Again, why can't I have Kedushin to my sister? Why can't I have Kedushin to an erva chayvi krisis? What? Mahi hasibo l'bnei Kedushin. What's the reason? Sheyesh lefarsha b'shnei fanim. Zot Reb Shimon, Zot Reb Chanan. You could say it over in two ways. Kigoin, ba'achos isha sheyesh lekaris loitas b'kedushin. Let's talk about the case of achos isha. Why can't I give a shava pruta to my wife's sister and say to her, "I want to be married to you"? What's stopping it? What's the moineya? So the pashup shad is it's a drasha. It says in Torah leisikach. Zot Reb Chanan. It's tifa than it's deep. Why? Yesh loimar. Tzad number one. Demashi achos isha goyim lechiyev karis v'chiyev karis moineya kedushin melacha. So Rav Chanan's first side is what's wrong about my wife's sister? It's that over the head carries a chayvi krisis. That chayvi krisis stops the marriage from being valid. That puts up a red flag, and the chayvi krisis is what stops the kedushin. Keep that in mind. According to the first tzad, it's the chayvi krisus that creates the barrier, and that barrier prevents the tfisus kedusha. What's the second tzad? Which is probably the way most of us thought. Most of us probably didn't think the first tzad. Right? We didn't think that chayvi krisus stops kedusha. Because you really need to break it down better. Why should kare stop tfisus kedusha? Kare means that if I live with this woman, I will die. What does that have to do with the fact that I want to marry her? Meaning, what's pshat that...
And if a nid is a chayiv krisus, then kedushin is tofes.
Right, nid is the exception. Nid is the one exception, right. Nid is the one exception, 100%. That's true. Nid is the exception, and that's why the baby's not a mamzer.
According to that side of the chakira, there should be no exceptions.
Again, everything has exceptions, as we all know. But, he's working with those examples of chayiv krisus that don't have tofes kedushin. But I just want to be masber a little better. What does it mean the kare stops the kedushin? Why does the kare stop kedushin? What is about kareis that affects marriage? Kareis affects relationships. Meaning, a man lives with a woman he's not supposed to. The Torah says he gets a punishment called kareis. The din over here is not about the relationship. The din over here is about the exchange of kinyan. I want to make a kinyan in this woman. I want to be kind to her. So Zakhtar B'chon, you can't be kind to a woman who the Torah says is kareis on her. Why? Because the kareis stops you. Why exactly does the kareis stop me from buying her? We'll see the second side is the way we all understand it. But the first side, to me, I still need a little bit more hesber.
Why is it?
Yeah.
Why is it different than being kone as something that you don't own?
Oh! Very good, David.
Karis means this is not something you can acquire. Because if you do, you get ultimately the worst punishment.
But again, why should that affect the purchasing espen? That, if a person, a person wants to buy something that's dangerous. So you buy it, and it's yours, and then we tell you, by the way, if you do this, you're going to die. But the purchase shouldn't be affected by the danger risk factor, no?
But if he purchases something that belongs to another person...
Oh, now you're saying a very geshmak asvar. Now you're ready to be mechav into machloikis pnei shua avnei melum, which we'll come back to in a second. But that's only true by Inashis Ish, David. Your svar is 100% right by Inashis Ish. That the reason why I can't marry Inashis Ish is because she's born already. You can't buy that is not for sale. But we're going to focus on that in a few minutes. That's a gevaldik ha'ara. We'll see.
There's kinyanim by dinei mamonos and kinyanim by iser v'heter, by marriage. They maybe don't follow the same rules.
And echarami, it's possible.
If the Torah is giving you this ultimate punishment of Karis,
yeah,
then it's telling you, no deal, this does not go through. We're not allowing it to go.
But again, my question is why?
Because if they give you a knas, okay, so I'm willing to pay the knas, whatever. But here at Kares, Hashem is telling you, I'm not allowing this to go through.
But again,
otherwise, it would be a different type of punishment.
But you're saying the severity of the punishment. Okay,
it's a simon that it's
not. One second. But that's the second side. That's the second side.
No, I understand.
That's why I'm saying I'm dancing a very thin line here because I don't want to get to the second side.
Maybe it's actually a kula, meaning the Torah saying, we don't want you to get kareis, so we're not going to allow this to go through as a favor to you.
Again, that's going to bring us back to Yavad Loi Mahani, if we're going to get back into that sugya. Okay,
but don't you get kareis anyway if you have relationships with a woman anyway? It's not totally in the actual
condition. That's true, meaning a man can say, so we're not married, we're going to just live in sin anyway. That's also possible, 100%.
Just to get back to what I asked, why can't it be that in the case of a prohibited marriage, the punishment of kares in that context is the equivalent of establishing that it's not yours to begin with, just like in Dinei Mamonos, it's somebody else's. So here that you don't have that. But because Baruch was saying, you're prohibited from this. You can't have it. So therefore you can't acquire it.
Now you're saying that the chi of kares can impact the mominous element to it as well. You're saying the chiv, but
okay. It could be kind of something that's prohibited to you. It's either prohibited to you because it belongs to somebody else, which, by the way, that's in the Torah, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And so the same thing.
But is that true?
We do have an example of kinyanim. There is an example of kinyanim of something you don't own. We have kinyanim geneva.
Oh, does anyone remember? We actually discussed this at length. About let's say for example, using Isuri Hana. Isuri Hana are things they're not allowed to benefit from. Are you able to own Isuri Hana? Is it shaykh to own something that you can't benefit from? We had an entire sugya when we did Gittin, we spoke about a guy gives a get from Isuri Hana. So part of the issues were, I don't remember it either, so don't feel bad, but part of the issues were, can you own something that you're not allowed to use? So back to David's example, if you're going to call the woman, you know, off limits because you're not allowed to use her, you're not allowed to be with her, does that mean I can't own her just because I'm not allowed to live with her? It's possible you can own her, but you're not allowed to live with her. Yeah, I understand. It's a weird setup. I have a bit trouble with the first side, but let's look at the second side.
One other thing, it's like if somebody makes a shvua,
right?
He's not going to sleep for 3 days. So it's not a shvua.
It's not shaykh, right? Right.
So same thing over here. The Torah is telling you we're not going to allow. It's chares. So just like by shvuas, you don't. The guy doesn't. It's just not chal. Here also, it's not.
But you want to say the point is that the fact that it's such a strong punishment, the Torah said, let's just knock this whole thing out. Let's just stay away from this whole parasha.
Shvuas, certain words don't count. So I swear I'm not going to sleep with.
Right. It's not valid, right? So again, but you're saying that because of the severity of the punishment of the sin of living together, the Torah pulled the whole marriage and said that there's nothing between you two, nothing can happen, nothing can be valid, everything is batul mavut. Okay, maybe that's on the first side. I still struggle with it. What's the second side?
Can't you say, Rabbi? Yeah. Can you say ki yigachish isha? Isha, by definition in the Torah, is a woman who, by definition, does not have a chiyuv.
You'd have to prove that to me, right? Isha means, well, I got to be careful today in political, you know, equivalency. I don't know what Isha is anymore in the secular world. Men are women. Not everyone's a woman today. But when the Torah says Isha, you're saying the Isha means a woman who's not usher to me? I don't know. It says Isha. It says a woman. A woman is a woman. So the Torah has to be more specific in which women I can't marry. That's why the Gemara has a whole drasha in Kedushin. Meaning without a drasha, it would come out very strange. A guy would be allowed to be married to his sister. Not allowed to live with his sister, that's an open pasuk, but he'd be allowed to be married to his sister. And he would have dinim to his sister. It would be a very strange world, don't get me wrong. But without a drasha from Kedushin Av Samach Zayin, the pashtus would be that these people would have tefisas Kedushin. Without the availability to live with them, of course, that's an open pasuk in the Torah. Yeah, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a weird world, but we're just trying to figure out what the Torah structured and how the Torah structured it. So that's your Rabbi Chanan. Yes.
Even if Koresh had validated retroactively the Kedushin.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the Kares go away, right?
Again, the Kares would only be if they live together.
And if they do it once, he gets Kares.
That's
if
it.
If they live together like 30 years, they're still going to get Kares.
100%.
Or not.
100%. So again, the marriage is not really directly connected to the Kares. The marriage...
There's a connection between the Kares and the marriage, because getting the Kares has no impact on the marriage.
100%. That's why I have a hard time understanding this sad. That's what I'm bothered with. My question is, the kares and the marriage are two separate conversations. Right? One conversation is, can I buy this object or buy this woman? The other conversation is, if I live with this woman, will I get punished? So many of you are suggesting, I'm not saying it's not a pshat, but many of you are suggesting that that's just a fancy way of the Torah saying we want you to stay as far away as from such a woman. A woman that has this type of punishment is someone we don't want you to be involved with. Maybe that's pshat. I'm not sure. But let's look at the second side. The second side of Rabbi Chanan is more understandable, at least to me. Yesh loimar, the chiyuv kares eino siba lemnias kedushin. The kares is not the reason you can't get married. Elo simen. It's another simen. Why the kemoish yesh ba kares ibnei shiachos isha hachanam loitav se kedushin mehaytay megufo. So Rabbi Chanan, what's the second side? The second side is the same thing we said earlier. That what? If the Torah says that this woman is kares, that means there's something diabolically opposed to this woman. You and this woman are not a shidduch. You and this woman are not a shidduch. So the same reason why the Torah gives you curse is the exact same reason why the Torah doesn't want you getting married. Because there's something fundamentally wrong with you two coming together. If it was okay for you two to get together and have a baby, or was it okay for you two together to have a relationship, then it would be okay for you two to get married. If the Torah is saying, I don't want you two living together, it's the Torah's way of saying, you two, no good. And that same problem, meineya, is what stops the Kedusha from being chal. So Zakr Rebuchon, hachanam, lo tavs the Kedusha, mehaytam agufo. They're not kares gairim l'mnei sekdushin. It's not that the kares causes the lack of kedushin. Ela sibas hakares. It's what's behind the kares. What's behind the kares? The erva. This woman is an erva to me. How do I know she's an erva? Because if I live with her, I get kares. Oh, so if she's an erva, I can't marry an erva either. That's Rabbi Chanan's second sat. Which I think is the way most of us would have assumed it. If I stop most people on the street and ask them why is there no tefisas kedushin b'chal isha, they'd probably tell you is because the fact that there is karis, that's a simen that there's something wrong with these two people coming together, and if there's something wrong with them coming together, living together, then the Torah doesn't even want them getting married together. It's somewhat of a logical conclusion.
So when Rabbi...
Yeah.
So when Rabbi Kiva comes and says the same thing applies by Suri Lavin,
right?
Is he using the same lumdus, the same svara, or is he coming up with some, I don't know, some new?
That was Rabbi Chanan's first chakira from. That was Rabbi Chanan's chakira somewhat from last week. The same type of svara. Is it a simin or a simpa? Ain't a chanami. Same shayla. You could plug in the same chakira there as well. Plug in the same chakira.
Or maybe not. Maybe he's creating a new category, and maybe. Can't apply what you'd say by Erva, maybe you can't necessarily apply by Lavin.
Maybe. You can debate that, because a Chavi Lavin is technically a lower level Chiv. Okay, I'm open to that, to such a Shiloh. Again, Rav Chanan himself works the same Chakira in, but I hear you could be Mechav between Chavi Kris and the Chavi Lavin. I think that's a fair assumption. Now, this is Rav Chanan's Chakira. Where would there be a Nafkamina? Is there a Nafkamina? Does it make a difference? So take a look at number 7. Gaval Gashtika Rav Chanan. Mamash Gashmak. Rabbi Chanan was gewaldic. His stuff is so smooth and geschmack to read and to appreciate it. Because he was very clear. Rabbi Chanan's, one of his emphasis was clarity. Go over and over, get it clear, make sure you understand it. And he gave that over in his svarim, in his shu. So Rabbi Chanan, has a chakir over here. Why can't you marry a chavi krisis? Is it because there's karis and the karis blocks it? Or the same reason there's karis? Well, again, I'm just gonna phrase it. Because she's an erva. And that's why there's kares, that erva relationship is what creates the lack of kedushin. Zokta b'chanan, a gevaldik araya. Unbelievable. Number 7. V'nire raya l'pirush hasheni. Zokta b'chanan, I have a raya from to the second side of the chakira. That what? That the kares is not the siba, the kares is merely a simon. What's his raya? From a rashi in Yivamis. The Gemara over there says in Yivamis, k'shakosav hatam b'hodem maimre in a kainim et raisi b'yivama. We know that the way you deal with the Yavama is either Yibam or Chalitza. That's how you take off Zika. What would happen if a guy goes over to his Yavama? Instead of wanting to do Bia, he gives her a Shava Pruta and he says, Ariya Mukadesh is Libetabazu. So the Gemara says that's called Maimer. That doesn't work Midaraisi. You can't give money to a Yavama to pata the Zika. So says the Gemara, why? So to Rashi, Shein Kedushin Toivsin Be'eshesach. Because he can't marry your brother's wife. The Torah doesn't allow you to treat her like a regular woman. You got to do whatever it says in the Torah. So Rashi's being masber. Why can't you do maimer to a yivama? Because there's no tvisis kedushin by your brother's wife. So we already have a gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin teaches us that Maimer doesn't work to be Koina Yavam. So, I don't get it. Once we know from Exeris HaKasa that the only way to take care of Zika is through Bia or Chalitza, not through money, so why did Rashi have to give you this Lomna Shateritz? That the reason why Maimer doesn't work to your brother's wife is because your brother's wife is Eshesach. Eshesach has no Tfisis Kedushin. Maimer doesn't work because the Torah said Maimer doesn't work for Yibam. Why is Rashi being so lumdish over here? It's pashut. The reason why you can't give maimer, you can't give money to your brother's wife, is because the Torah said that's not a valid option to take off Zika. So that's it. So it's not a valid option. What made Rashi have to get involved with, and there's no tvis kedushin because she's your brother's wife? Who needed that? So Zakti Bachanim, beautiful.
Meaning if it was Yivam Lashuk, then it would work.
Ah, that's exactly what Bachanim is going to say. Givaldik. I think it must be the new computer. I'm telling you, that must be it today. Everyone's so on top of everything today. Zogt b'chanan avol bir advar. Zogt b'chanan, I'll tell you the pshat like this. This pshat in Rashi. The hasam parach b'gemara dineilof mikav v'chaymer shetehei mitzvah zibum gam b'kez v'shtak b'ayubi. The Gemara's kasha was that I have a whole kav v'chaymer that should tell me that I should be able to take off Zika with maimer. U'mishani the Gemara answered the Gzeres HaKosav mitzvah zibum b'dafka b'bir. That's the Gzeres HaKosav. You want to take off Zika, there's only one way to take off Zika. Zika gets removed with bir. But Zogt b'chanan, but I can't teach you. You can have another question. What? What's the follow-up question? Lomo leyifne b'kesev v'shtar b'tayis kedushin loy b'tayis yibam. Frekt, Rabbi Chonon, good. So I can't marry her as a yavama and take off zika. Let me marry her as a married woman. Let me try to get tvisis kedushin through her. We just learned earlier there's no tvisis kedushin. To ikal man da'amad kedushin tayfsin b'yavam l'shuk. There is a man da'amad that holds kedushin is tayfsin. And if you hold normally an outsider can't marry a yavama, that's only because he's an outsider. Says in Torah, she's not allowed to marry an outside man. He's not an outside man. He's the man. He's the Yavam. So Zogta B'chanon, why can't you go, why can't you buy her like an Isha Kedushin? Ain't a Chanami, if I give her money, I can't take off Zika with that. But at least allow me to be kind to her. On that, says Rashi, no. Ulezek, kasev Rashi, atam. Da yovim goram ishze, no. The fact that you're a yovim, you're worse than an outside man. Why? Dein k'tushin toifs n'beishesach, kivish ein mekayim b'zeh mitzvah sibum. So Rashi, no. You're worse. Because you still have hanging over your head the Isra Eshizach. That Isra Eshizach prevents you from even trying, attempting to do Kedushin to this woman. Again, giving her money to take off Zika, that's a no-brainer. That's a pasuk in the Torah. But to try to marry her with Kedushin, that also you can't do. Why is it Rashi? Because of the Isra Eshizach. So Zogta B'chanan, 1 second. Rabbi B'chanan's bothered with a kasha. Frekta B'chanan, this man is going over to his brother's wife. His brother died. He's giving her Kedushin. If he decided, instead of giving the Kedushin, he's boiled her, would he get Karis? Absolutely not. It's a B'maka Mitzvah. So, Frek the B'chanan, if what causes the Eitzvisus Kedushin is the Karis that's hanging overhead, there's no Karis hanging overhead over here. She's your brother's wife, you have a Mitzvah to live with her. And yet, Rashi still says, but there's no Eitzvisus Kedushin to her. Why? If the whole Tvisus Kedushin says Rabbi Chanan is because of the first sad, it's the practical karis that you have. There is no karis over here. She's your brother's wife, b'maka mitzvah. There is no karis. So, frag to Rabbi Chanan, what's going on over here? But says Rabbi Chanan, if you go like the second sad, Avul Nefarish, the ain't a karis. It's not the karis itself. It's the erva behind the karis. So she's still an erva to you. Meaning, if you understand that the first sad of Rabbi Chanan, it's the practical karis. I'm not getting practical karis from living with this woman, but I'm still practically an erva to her. I'm an erva until the Torah permits me to live with her. So Zogta B'chanan, this would be an afkamina. When Rashi tells me that I can't marry my brother's wife in Mokim Yibam because she's an Eshizach, that's not because I'm going to get karis. It's because she's an erva. And the erva is what prevents the Tfisus Kedushin. So Zogta B'chanan, now I have a riot to my Chakira. I see from this Rashi that it's not the pshat that the actual kares prevents the kedushin. It's the erva behind the kares that prevents the tefisas kedushin. So brings the Rav Chanan a raya from this Rashi. However, the Imre Moshe, Michael, who wrote the Imre Moshe? See if you know.
I don't know who wrote it, but I can tell you one thing. He argues on Rebok Ber and the tefisas kedushin that Avdar Amarav. Because that was the word I said over to get into numerous brought in Midrashim.
Okay.
I can't remember his name.
Moshe, the Imre Moshe was Moshe Sokolovsky. I don't think we're related, but that was his last name. Imre Moshe learned by Reb Chaim. He learned by many of the Gedolim of that time. He differs than Reb Chaim's Mahalach a little bit. He learned by Reb Chaim at two different times. He learned by Reb Chaim later. Okay, whole story. But in any case, so he writes like this. Don't feel bad. I didn't know who he was either until I was in 11th grade. And my Rebbe quoted the Imre Moshe. And he says, "No, do you know who the Imre Moshe was?" He put me on the spot. Of course, I didn't know who the Imre Moshe was in 11th grade. And that's why I knew who the Imre Moshe was. So for the rest of my life, I remember who the Imre Moshe was. Okay? That's how my Rebbe made me remember. So the Imre Moshe...
Well, we thought you were related. That's why.
Yeah, no, I appreciate him pointing it out to me. But I definitely didn't know at the time who the Imre Moshe was. But it's always because I don't know who some of the big Gedolei Achronim are. But in any case, so the Imre Moshe disagrees with this premise. The Imre Moshe finds it very hard to imagine that the karis hanging overhead is the deciding factor, meaning what we call Rabbi Chanan's first sat.
Well, you got that. Can we just say that the Torah tells us exactly with the Yibam what to do? The Torah prescribes exactly what to do.
That's what the Gemara says.
They don't give you another option. Nothing to do with
karis. No, but the question over here is so fine. I'm not going to do Yibam. I'm going to do something else to her. I'm going to marry her.
You can't.
No, the Torah says how you take off Zika. The Torah gives you a description of how do you remove Zika, but I don't want to remove Zika. I want to do something else to her. I want to marry her. I don't want to do the Torah. You mean you're saying that's goof a part of what the Torah included. You're saying that not only did the Torah say you don't take off Zika, but the Torah said, and there's nothing else you could do to this woman. She is, you know, in a box. Okay, fear. It's a fear ha'ara, that's goof a part of the Xeris HaKasav. You don't need this whole shtickle Torah from Rashi. And Echanami. So let's see what the Imre Moshe writes. He writes, "V'shamati Imrim beYishev Rashi Hanal." Some people say Pshat on this Rashi Nivamis. Daha the Ein Kedushin Tovesin Bechavi Krisus. Why is there no Kedushin Bechavi Krisus? Loi Mishum Sheyesh Karis BeBiBiYasei. It's not because there's actual Karis. V'rak Simana the BeElunayim Sheyesh Leknas. It's basically Rabbi Chanan's second sad. that it's not the fact that there is karis, but it's the fact that you could get karis for living with this woman. Yesh b'hadin gam kein, the ein kedushin toifs. Ulahochi kasev Rashi, the maimim et rabbonim, shem ein kedushin toifs in chayvi krisus, after nafil mate b'chozem mikri ever, she's still called an erva. Again, what was Rabbi Chanan saying? I didn't speak this out because I don't want to give away the ending. What did Rabbi Chanan say? According to the first sad, you have an Eshesach. Again, the guy goes over to his brother's wife. The brother dies. He goes over to her and says, here's the money. Hareyat Mekudeshes. So Zot Rashi, Kedushin doesn't go because she's an Eshesach. If she's an Eshesach, she's your brother's wife. Brother's wife has no Kedushin. Frek Rabbi Chanan, why? Why does my brother's wife have no Kedushin? That's because my brother's wife is called, has Karis. But this woman does not have Karis to me. Because if I live with her right now, there's no Karis. So what must be the reason there's no Kedushin, Zot Rabbi Chanan? It must be that she's called an Erva. And she's still called an erva, and that's why I can't give kedushin to her. Frekt Imre Moshe.
But really? Is that assumption true in the setting of Yibam that she still retains status?
That's the Imre Moshe's nekuda. That's where Moshe takes issue with this. Rabbi Chanan says she's really called an erva. You're calling her an erva in this matzif. He says, He says the dover ze ena miskabel etzli klal. This is not something I can accept. Loimar to say the after men ha'toyra mutar ha'biya b'cholinyin lo yitavsi kedushin m'shem erva. I mean, Frekt Imre Moshe, what are you talking about, Rabbi Chanan? How can you call this woman an erva? In this status, she's not an erva. If the brother died and left 20 children, so avada and eshesach is an erva. Oh, but Frekt Imre Moshe, she's not an erva. Because since it's in the confines of Yibum, just like there's no karis hanging overhead, there's also no shame erva hanging overhead. So even the second side doesn't make sense. I mean, that's his point. His point is Rabbi Chanan wanted to set it up that there's no karis overhead, but she's still called an erva. Well, why is she called an erva? He gufa. The fact that there's a mitzvah to Yibam should be a reason why she's not called an erva. She shouldn't have the shame erva either. So he asks, that's Mamish's kasha, like Seth pointed out. Why do we call these two people an erva? We should look at these two people as not erva. And he brings a gavaldik araya. He says, I'll bring you a raya. He says, "Varei lefi asaika daitoch." The Gemara havamina the beloy oleo without a special gzeres akosav havamina achos isha misya bemis. I would think that if a person falls yibam to his brother's wife, to his wife's sister, this is why we don't learn yivamis. One of the reasons why we don't learn yivamis, right? If a guy would fall yibam to his wife's sister, that's the classical case of two brothers marrying two sisters. So what would happen? So we know you don't do yibam because your wife's sister is an erva. But the Gemara had a havamina that you would do yibam. Why? Because of Aseidah Chalois Aseh. The Aseidah Chalois Aseh, Sheyovei Krisis Al Kochach Deha Yekoinois, meaning Frektim Akasha. So they don't get it. According to Rabbi Chanan, how would it even be possible for me to do Yibam to my brother's, to my wife's sister? My brother's wife, my wife's sister is an Erva to me. Even if it would be B'makei Mitzvah. So she's an Erva B'makei Mitzvah, it would come out that how am I ever Koine her? I can't be kind to her because she's an erva. It's an interesting kashi. He says the yibum b'loy kinyan ishus loy shayach klal. This is maybe more of a yivamis sugya, but he's assuming that in order to be able to have yibum, you have to be able to be kind to her. Even though, again, the kinyan yivam and your kinyan wife are very different ones, makarch the ones meritzayin it. But Frekt Rav Moshe Sokolovsky, 1 second. If Rabbi Chanan's right that everyone still carries the shame erva, so how would I ever be able to do yibum to these type of people? It must be that if I'm allowed to do yibam to them, not only is there no karis, but there's also no shame erva. And therefore he disagrees with Rabbi Chanan. So the nekudas ha-machloikis between these two achrayim is, when the Torah permits yibam, did the Torah not just waive the karis, but also waive the shame erva? If there is an erva, if there's a friction between these two people, was it waived b'makei mitzvah? Or you could say no, the erva is still there until you actually do the mitzvah. But until you do the mitzvah, this friction, this erva is still there. That's goof of the machloikim between Rabbi Chanan and the Imre Moshe. Rabbi Chanan says no.
It sounds like a hutra.
Possibly, it might be telling that.
Say that yibam is dechuya.
We might be able to connect it into that as well. That's what they're arguing about. But it's a lomdus of machloikis. The machloikis achrayim over here is when I have a heter to live with someone who is an erva, is the pshat that the Torah removed the shame erva? Or there's still a shame erva, but still the Torah allowed you to live with this person. Okay, Belina, the next week...
One second, yeah. Rabbi, we said if he gave our Kedusha Kesef, it doesn't work. So that's a raya that she's still an Erva, no?
No, that's his point. This is why the Imam Moshe is arguing. He's saying that can't be Pshat and Rashi, because it's just not true. she can't still be an erva. You can't call her erva. That was Rabbi Chanan's raya from Rashi. The Imam Rashi doesn't like that. He thinks it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, Rashi says it, but he thinks it doesn't make any practical sense to say it that way. We didn't come back to what we were supposed to talk about. We're still en route to be masber the Marsha's kasha. The Marsha had a kasha from Yavam Lushuk, but Lined, the next week we'll come back to it with David's ha'ara about Eishes Ish, and then we'll answer up the Marsha's kasha, and then we'll go weiter in the sugya of Mamzeris and Chalolin, and we'll talk about that as well. So, Mr. Shem, this Tuesday night, we're going to be doing part two of Community Erevin. Mr. Shem, this Wednesday night, we'll have the parsha share. All will be at 8:30 this week in Mr. Shem. Okay, be well, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe and be well.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Take care, everyone.